The Gemara Masechet Megillah Daf Zayin Amud Beis teaches us Amar Rava Chayv Inish Lufsumi Bepurya. A person on Purim is supposed to drink Ad the Layoda Ben Oror Haman LeBaruch Mordechai until he doesn't know the difference between Oror Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And if we look in the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tov Reish Tzadikei, the Shulchan Aruch and Simen Tov Reish Tzadikei, Sif Beis, Paskins, Chayv Inish L'Vesumei Bepurya. A person is supposed to drink on Purim, Ad La'yoda Ben Oror Haman L'Varuch Mordechai, until he can't differentiate between Oror Haman and Baruch Mordechai. However, continues the Ramah, V'yesh Oimim De'ein Tzarech L'Staka Kolkach, a person need not get so intoxicated. He should drink more than he normally does. And he'll go to sleep. And once he's sleeping, he doesn't know the difference between Oror Haman and Baruch Mordechai. And interestingly, the Ramah adds a few very important words. It makes a difference if you do a lot of something or not that much. The main point is Ovat Shechavim Liboy LaShemayim. So we begin having a discussion about the obligation to drink on Purim. Rashi here says, what is the definition of the word L'Sumei? The staker b'yayin, to drink wine. Interestingly, I saw that the Sfas Emes quotes the Chidusha Harim in a way of introduction to our Shir. If the Gemara meant that a person is really obligated to get drunk, to get intoxicated, the Gemara should have used the wording chayiv lehistaker, which is the word for intoxication, shikur. Why does the Gemara use the word lefsumei? It's, he said, to teach us that one is really not supposed to get drunk. In general, the Paiskim asked the question, where in the Megillah does it say that we're obligated to drink on Purim? Just like we find all the other halachas of the Megillah and of Purim are mentioned in the Megillah, going back to the beginning of our Masechta, where the Gemara says that the people who live in the villages begin reading the Megillah on your Aleph, your Beis, and your Gimel. Even for that halacha, the Gemara looked for a source in the Megillah. And only after the Gemara found a source in the Megillah did the Gemara say that that's the halacha. Where is this halacha found in the Megillah? Because the Paiskim say, one could suggest that it was a later takana that came after the basic halachas of Purim. But to that, there's a question. If the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, when they were Mesaken Purim, and they instituted all of the rules of Purim, did not see a need to institute this rule, why did the later Chachamim make this rule? So they want to suggest that there is a remez for this halacha in the Megillah. Because the Megillah says, Lasis oisam yimei mishta v'simcha v'yontif. And the Gemara, we learned on Daf Hei on the Beis, says from here we learned, Simcha melamed she'asa behesped, mishta melamed she'asa betainis, yontif melamed she'asa besiyas melacha. So the Mefarshim ask, once the Pasuk says the word yontif, so we know that if it's a yontif, all the halachas of yontif apply, and one may not fast, and one may not say a hesped. So the question is, why did the Megillah have to say, is simcha v'yont, mishta v'simcha v'mishta, if we already have the word yontif? Now, so they suggest that that's how we know the zechiv mishta on yontif, on Purim. Because the word mishta, as we just proved, is somewhat superfluous. I asked the Paiskim, but why do we still need a pasuk of mishta to teach us that one has to drink on Purim? If we're saying that the Megillah considers Purim a yontif, we know that the Gemara says, the Gemara Masechet Pesachim, Perek Avi Pesachim, that's the halacha. But ma besamchoi, how does one fulfill Sesimchas Yontif? B'yayin. So, again, we come back to our question. We're saying that the way we know that one is supposed to drink on Purim is because the Megillah, besides calling Purim a Yontif, and all the halachas that we learned from the word Mishta v'simcha could have just as well been learned from the fact that the Megillah calls Purim a Yontif. But if so, and therefore the Mishta remains superfluous to teach us that there's a chiyuv Mishta on Purim, but we don't need that pasuk to teach us that there's a chiyuv Mishta on Purim. We could learn it from the halacha of Yontif, since the halacha by Yontif is b'ma b'samchoy b'yayin. So the Chasam Sofer and really other, the Brisker Rav, they all say a very big difference between the chiyuv of drinking on Purim versus the chiyuv of drinking any other time, on any other yontif. When one drinks on yontif there's a chiyuv simcha, v'simachta b'chagecha. Wine is a vehicle how to get to a status of simcha. And in fact, if somebody could say that he could reach a madrega of simcha without wine, then he wouldn't have to drink wine. And we in fact know, the Gemara says that noshim b'mayim esamcham. How do we make women happy? The Gemara says you buy them jewelry, you buy them clothing. So what do we see? There isn't a specific chiyuv of drinking on wine on yontif. There's a chiv to be simcha be yontif. If you could get to that simcha through wine, great. If you get to that simcha without anything, also fine. If you get to that simcha with another means, that's also acceptable. By Purim, that's what the pasuk is teaching us, that there's a specific chiv of mishta. It's not that this mishta is a way to reach simcha. But Mishta is an independent chiyuv of the yontif of Purim. And that's why we learn it from the way, from the extra word of simcha. So explains the Brisker Rav. So why is indeed Purim different? Why by Purim is there a separate chiyuv of drinking wine, a different chiyuv than by all other yontivim? Says the Brisker Rav, that's the mitzvah of Purim. The mitzvah of Purim is to drink, without any, even if it doesn't bring you to simcha. And that's pshat in the Gemara, chayiv inish l'fsumei, he has an independent obligation to drink. But now the question, of course, is, why? Why do we find, as we're now explaining, this independent obligation to drink? So some explain that if we look at the Ness of Purim, it all came through Mishta Yayin, the Mishta that Achashverosh made, through which Vashti was killed and Esther was ultimately named as the queen. The Mishta that Haman came, and therefore, since all of these nisim happen through the Mishnah. That's why we have to have the included in the Presume Nisa or Purim is this is the way that Presume Nisa or Purim is accomplished through Mishnah Yayin. Another pshat that I saw is that our Gemara, in fact, teaches us why did Klal Yisrael in that generation deserve such a terrible punishment? Says the Gemara. Says the Chasam Sofer. The Halacha, the Rambam says that when somebody does tshuva, it has to be ba'isa makoim or ba'isa perik. You have to put yourself back into the exact same set of circumstances. You have to put yourself into the same set of circumstances and still not do the aveira that you did when you were in those circumstances previously. So we specifically drink on Purim, says the Chasam Sofer, to put us right back to where we were by the time of the Nes of Purim, and to show not like in that time where they were nanumis sudasa shloisa rosha, but on the contrary, we're being careful to drink in the proper way. The Chasam Sofer gives another explanation that the purpose of drinking is that a person, when he's drunk, doesn't have any worries. Everything that bothers him goes away when he's drunk. Klal Yisrael, says the Chasam Sofer, is now in a time of tzara. We're in a time where our enemies are trying to destroy us. We're in a time of galus. Purim is a day of simcha. And the way to reach that simcha and to recognize and to take away as if there's nothing in the world that bothers us is through drinking. And in fact, I saw that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that even though it says in the Haggadah, in the Megillah, Yimei HaPurim Ha'elu LaYavru B'toich HaYehudim, and the Gemara Darshins and the Rambam says it, that even when Mashiach comes, we will still celebrate Purim. Said Rav Shlomo Zalman, one of the halachas of Purim won't be applicable when Mashiach comes. And that's the halacha, he says, of drinking. He says, because only in the time, like the Chasam Sofer explained, where Klal Yisrael are in a situation of tzoris, and the only way to forget about those tzoris is to drink. But when Mashiach comes, he says, there will no longer be such a situation. We won't be anymore in a situation of tzara, and therefore we won't have to drink, we won't no longer drink on Purim. The Sefer Yad Ephraim from Ephraim Zalman Magoyus says that the reason we have to drink on Purim is because on Purim one has to be happy and to thank the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the only way we could thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because by being maybe drinking and really being in a very high state of happiness. I saw from the Kozhna Tzemagid, it says towards the end of the Megillah, V'rabim mi'amei ha'oretz misyadim kinofal pachar ha'yehudim aleihem. Many of the nations, many of the non-Jews were scared and they converted out of fear, but that wasn't an honest conversion. So how did Mordechai know whose geirus was sincere and whose geirus was not sincere? What he did was, he gave them to drink. And we know that nichnas yayin yotza soid. When somebody drinks, what true comes out, and like that, he was able to determine if their conversion was sincere. Another pshat that the Maral suggests is that we know that the difference between Chanukah and Purim is Purim, since Achashverosh and Haman wanted to physically destroy us, the way we celebrate Purim is with Mishta v'Simcha. Whereas on Chanukah, where it was more of a spiritual annihilation, which they had in mind, the way we celebrate it is B'Hallel v'Hoydah. So, how can we have a purely physical celebration, explains the Maral? By drinking. Because when somebody drinks, he's no longer under the influence of his seichel. And since he's no longer under the influence of his seichel, he's just gashmius. That's what Purim represents. Others explain, going back to a concept that we discussed extensively in our previous shiurim on Hilchos Mishloach Manos, that the Manos Halevi teaches us that the purpose of giving Shloach Manos on Purim is to create a situation of friendship, of strong relationships between people, between members of Klal Yisrael. And when is a person in such a situation? When he is drunk, he's happy, all of his inhibitions fall away, and he could dance and sing and be truly b'ahava v'achva with all of his friends, relatives, and neighbors, which is the entire purpose of Purim. But in conclusion, in explaining why one should drink on Purim, there's a beautiful explanation given in the Chassidish Sfarim. Purim, the Chassidish Sfarim explain, is Yom Kippurim. When we speak about Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, it's Yom Kippurim. It's a day compared to Purim. That means Yom Kippurim is not even as great as Purim. Purim is the greatest day of the year. And in fact, that's what we say in the Agoda. Kimlu v'kiblu, kimlu l'mala, masha kiblu l'mata. HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Purim accepted all, whatever we said. On Yom Kippur, we can't be sure that we have that power. But on Purim, it has the ability that kimlu l'mala, masha kiblu l'mata. That's the day that you could have Purim has in it the words of refuah. If somebody, Rachman Tzlan, needs a refuah, Purim has in it the words piri of erivya. If somebody has children, needs children, Purim is the day of yontif, especially for things that are related to gashmius, as we just explained, which is what the yontif of Purim represents. That could all be accomplished on Purim. So the Chiddush HaRim says a mashal. He says there was somebody that was traveling to a place that he shouldn't have been going. And he had in his pocket 500 gold pieces, a tremendous amount of money in those times. He's traveling on the road and he walks by a house and he hears terrible crying from that home. He walks in and he asks, what's the problem here? And they tell him that the person who lives in this home has been thrown into prison because he hasn't paid taxes. He owes taxes. This person, and in jail, he's being tortured and the situation is very bad. This person, when he heard this, he asked, how much money did this person owe in taxes? And they said, exactly 500 gold pieces, the amount that he was carrying. He took out that money from his pocket, and he used it to save that man who was in jail. When this happened, says the Chiddush Arim in his Mashal, in Shemayim, there was a tremendous tumult. Look at this person. He was on the way to do an Aveira, and he was able to overcome that desire. He was able to overcome that desire and use the money for such an incredible, important purpose. So they gave him a tremendous bracha. They gave him a bracha that whatever he says will happen. Anything he says will happen. But they were then concerned, this person is really not such a great person. And he has in his hands such a tremendous power that he could turn the world over. Whatever he says will happen. So at the same time, they also said that he should become a drunk. And since he's a drunk, the person doesn't know, wasn't really typically by his senses to act appropriately. Chiddush Arim continues to say, there was once a terrible tsar in the world, in the time of the Baal Shem. And the Talmidei HaBaal Shem came to him and asked him, who could give us a bracha to help us be saved? So he said, that person. So they came to that person, and that person, most of the time he was drunk, until they found a moment where he was sober, and he gave a bracha, and indeed they came out of the tzara. Says the Chiddush Arim, as we just explained, Purim has such a tremendous day. We could accomplish so much on Purim. But they were concerned that we may not know what to ask for, and we may not use that power properly. That's why Chai Vinishlav Sumir Purya, we're drunk, we won't abuse this power.